This Thursday, we'll see Cuimhne Mhaoin Clár hosting a live podcast recording with collector and piper Eugene Lamb. Eugene has donated his significant collection from the 1980s of video recordings of musicians, singers, native speakers of Irish and more besides from North Clare, and he'll be illustrating the interviewed video clips, and also the group will be launching their new website on the evening. That's this Thursday, the 1st of December at the Old Ground Hotel. Delighted to say that joining me in studio are Paula Carroll, who's project coordinator of Cuimhne Mhaoin Clár and, of course, presenter of the West Wind here on Clare FM. It might be unusual for you to be on the other side of the desk, Paula, but thanks very much for coming in.
It's a welcome position to be in, actually, having you doing all the hard work.
Well, hard work, I don't know if people would describe it as that. And a good morning as well to the chairperson of Cuimhne Mhaoin Clár, Leonard McDonough. How are you, Leonard?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
Thanks very much for coming in. We're also joined on the line by Eugene Lamb, the donator of the material himself. Good morning, Eugene.
Morning, how are you doing?
Very well, and thanks very much.
Hello, Leonard. Hello, Paula.
Hello.
Hi, Eugene.
Thanks very much for being with us. Paula, just to get the ball rolling with yourself, how is Cuimhne Mhaoin Clár's work been progressing since the last time you would have been on telling us what you were doing?
I'd say the last time I was on might have been pre-pandemic or maybe during one of the gaps in the pandemic. So since then, it's like we've kind of exploded back onto the scene again, because, of course, the core of our work is talking to older citizens of the county. And we couldn't really do that effectively during the pandemic. We decided not to do it electronically over Zoom and that kind of thing. So now that we can go back out again, it's fantastic, you know, we're kind of out there with renewed vigour. But the pandemic gave us opportunities as well, because we got the chance to kind of look inwards and really clean up the archive and tidy it up and think about our own work and what we could do. So we moved a lot of our work online and kind of skilled up, did a lot of online presentations and that kind of thing, and did a lot of strategic thinking, really, and planning for how we would work in the future. So it was a great time for reflection, but we really love being back out and at it now again.
Yeah, did you miss all that, Leonard? You know, I mean, as Paula says, you put the time of COVID to good use, but there's nothing like being out there and getting that material from people and keeping certain stories and recollections alive.
Yeah, I suppose from our point of view, our big job and interest, I suppose, was going out and interviewing the elderly citizens. And with the lockdown, we discovered we have to do something. And one of the great things, I suppose, that it allowed us to do was to tidy up, as Paul has said, the archive material. There was quite a lot of abstract of interviews that were undertaken, because once the interview is, we'll say, taken and recorded, that begins a long journey until it's actually in the archive and ready to be presented. But we were also fortunate in seeking funding from the Heritage Council, Rethink Ireland and Clare County Council, who have been the backbone of our project since we started. That enabled us to develop the paperwork. Like a group like Cuimhne Mhaoin, and I'm sure any other equal charity organisation, don't run on air, so to speak. So whilst the recording is the biggest part and meat and bones, the organisation has to be run, and we have to comply with a lot of paperwork. Charities regulator, they're getting more strict and more requirements are necessary. So with the strategic plan, as Paula, our coordinator, was doing during the last 12 months, that has brought our, I suppose, our housework, so to speak, up to scratch. So we're in a great place, and we're looking forward to when we launch the website, which I suppose is keeping up with technology, and everything is now at the press of a button. So you could be walking down the street, you could be passing maybe a part of a podcast without knowing it. But it's great to have the recordings, have them abstracted, have them uploaded and then available for presentation. And the big thing is it's an acknowledgement of the people who give their time. And I always say this, that the people who give of their time for the interview and share those, as you'll see with Eugene, my goodness, it is timeless. What when you do it, I suppose, initially and record people in their own settings, musicians or storytellers or singers, my God, when you see back and the natural kind of gait of them in their surroundings, that's priceless. You couldn't set that up. And even if you did, it probably wouldn't sound the same. So, yeah, we're raring for road to go out, meet new people, get their stories, and now we're in a position to upload them and they'll be available to everybody.
Okay, brilliant stuff. And Eugene, you're massively helping out in that regard with the collection that you're donating to Caoimhne Van Clár. Can you tell us a bit about this collection of video recordings from the 80s? You know, why you decided to do this and about the wealth of material that you have?
Well, I was in O'Connor's pub one night with a good, very good friend of mine called Dick Grant, another piping friend from a long, long time ago. And we were just listening to some of the lads who were playing. Paddy Russell was there, and Michael was there, and Michael Sherlock, and Paddy Callooery was there, and Jack Callooery. They always used to play there, and the people were dancing. The local people were dancing, the Caledonian set. There was only one set ever danced there. It wasn't like when the set dances took off, there was all sorts of sets. These sets, and it was a sort of like, I often think it's been like when we learned Irish in Dublin, where I am now today. And we went down the west of Ireland. It was so different because it was part of people's lives. I was into a pub once in Spittle, and there was a woman behind the counter, and a wet dog came in, her sheepdog, and she said to the dog, "Go machu," and out the dog went. And I didn't know until that moment that the dogs talked Irish as well, because in in Dublin it was a sort of it was like an academic exercise. And the music in a way was a bit like that, although Dublin, when I was young, the best musicians were here because they were coming up to the city. But we were sort of separated from the community that it came from. But when I hit Doolin and saw these lads and the local people who were dancing, knew all the tunes, it was almost like the dog in Spittle. They were part of the whole dynamic of the traditional scene. And I turned to Dick and I said to Dick, we're watching Paddy Callooery, and probably see him on the videos. He was very dynamic when he played. Everything in his body moved, including his eyebrows, when he was playing. And we said, geez, wouldn't it be great to get that on a video? And that was the moment when we decided we'd do something about it. And we approached Pascal Brooks. Pascal, who was a young cameraman and did weddings and stuff, said, any chance you could spend a few days with us? And we sort of employed him at small rate. And thanks to Pascal, because we didn't have cameras, of course, that time. And the digital cameras hadn't been on stream at that stage. There was digital cameras, but it was very expensive.
Yeah, so you
had VCR recordings, and we just started at that, and then lined up various people and went recording them in their homes as well, just to have a slice of what the community involvement with music was like, really.
So you have a pretty extensive collection there, I would say invaluable as well, particularly for what Caoimhne Van Clár do. Why did you decide to donate those? Did you hear about what the guys were doing and like the sound of it and feel that your collection would be beneficial, or did they approach you?
Well, no, actually, I met Leonard through a different way altogether, and I gave him copies of them a while back, a few years ago. And we never made them with the idea that we'd keep them ourselves. We made them so we could pass them on to people who would never. I showed them at one stage, and a young girl in the audience got excited because she'd never seen her granddad before. Her granddad was singing, and she'd never seen him before. And that's the reason we made them, so the people, generations coming up, would be able to see things that they never had a chance to see. And we knew they were jewels, really. And that they're like it's often said in Irish, neither a lehead on a reach. But it's really true about that generation. Everything has changed so much. We'll see that sort of thing again. So we knew that, and we just wanted to try and just get a little, it's like a time capsule. And wanted to give it away to everybody. So I gave copies not only to Caoimhne Van Clár, but also to the ITMA and anybody else who wanted them. I sent them away freely.
Brilliant. It's going to be so beneficial to you guys, Paula, and you've turned this into what should be a brilliant evening on Thursday with Eugene's Collection at the Old Grand Hotel, starting at 7 p.m. How is the evening going to work?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things happening on that evening. We are launching our strategic plan. I've been telling you that we've been reflecting for a year or so and have put it all into 24 pages. So we'll be doing that. We're also launching our new website, which we managed to develop. So Dr. Maura Cronin, who founded the Oral History Centre in UL, she'll be coming along to do the honours there. And then we will do the interview with Eugene. So myself and Eugene will sit somewhere appropriate. We have the video screen. We'll be showing video clips. And I'm just going to ask Eugene to introduce each of these characters to us, because I think that's like, it's absolute gold. We can spend ages talking around it, but to actually sit down and look at those musicians, singers, dancers, Irish speakers on screen and have Eugene talk to us about his connection with them. And we've also invited, we've reached out as much as we can to kind of family and friends of those people and asked them to come along and bring their own stories and share their own stories. So we'll be going into the crowd on the night as well and asking people to share their memories of them. So
that should be brilliant.
Yeah.
A real interactive kind of an evening.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, because we do events, you know, where we maybe bring material from the archive and share it in an audio fashion. And we would usually try to include contributions from the floor as well. And it's often the best part of the night, you know, because memory sparks memory and people get excited then about sharing what they remember about that person. It's one of my favourite things about those nights.
Okay, well, make sure you get along to that night. Illustrated interview with Eugene Lamb, Sounds from North Clare's Past, for the Clare Oral History podcast of Cuíomhná Bhean Clár. That's this Thursday, the 1st of December, at the Old Ground Hotel here in Ennis, beginning at 7 p.m. There will be refreshments from 6:30 if you like that kind of thing, and who doesn't? So make sure you get along for that. My thanks to Paula Carroll and to Leonard McDonough in studio with me here from Cuíomhná Bhean Clár, and also to Eugene Lamb on the line. It is 0818 400 964 to call us here at Morning Focus, or you can text or WhatsApp the show 086 1800 964. And Leonard, do you have something you want to say there?
Yeah. Just in regard to Eugene's collection, the people that he has captured in those videos, I know from my own experience of playing with them when we were growing up and going down to Doolin, it's a world that unfortunately, as he says, has vanished. Obviously nothing stays still, and a new generation have come up, great musicians, but to see a collection of the old boys in a setting where each character was unique, individual, and had their own mannerisms, and in particular they talked there of Paddy and the Russell brothers, great people to pass on the heritage, pass on their music. They were never, what would I say, they were never shy about telling you, but they were so lovely in their gentle way, despite the harsh, I suppose, environment of North Clare. They had a gentleness, I think, that will come across in those video clips. So again, on behalf of Cuíomhná, my thanks to Eugene for the work that he did and for passing it on to Cuíomhná. We hope we can provide a safe home for it.
I'd say no better home for that material. My thanks to Paula, to Leonard and to Eugene.